way before the sun came up. And I, as I sat in these seats and watched the sun come up, and it was just beautiful. And it wasn't necessarily beauty because of just the sun coming up. It was beautiful because God had designed it. God had made it. God is the master artist in this whole scene. And it just awakened my heart to understand, as we sit in here, as we praised, as we stood, and as we pray, he's at work in us. The same people that wrote these scriptures, God worked in them. That same God is working in us this morning. And he's writing scriptures in our life. He's writing his story in our life. And I thought, as I prepared for this sunrise service, I thought it would be great just to really focus in on God's word this morning. So as I read, I hope that you take this in. I hope that just like the sun rising in the morning, you being overwhelmed and it hits you in the face, I hope this scripture does the same for you. John 11, 25 through 26 says this. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" 1 Peter 1:3. "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." 1 Corinthians 15:21. "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man." Philippians 3:10. "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and to participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." Acts 4:33. "With great hope, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all." Luke 24, 6 through 7, "He is not here, he is risen." Romans 8, 34, "Who then is the one who condemns? No one." Philippians 2, 8, "And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross." 1 Corinthians 6:14. "And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power." Romans 6:9. "We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never be dead again. Death no longer has dominion over him." Romans 8:34. "Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Romans 6:8 through 11. "The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God in the same way. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in God in Christ Jesus." Luke 24, 6 through 7. "Remember how he told you, while you were still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, but by be crucified, and on the third day, raise again." Romans 6, 8 through 11. "Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has a mastery over him." Acts 3:15. "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." I hope these scriptures ring true for you this morning. My hope is that it writes its place in your heart, that as you live understanding that you died to who you were and become new to who Christ has made you. 3 days ago, our Savior died on a cross. And in that moment, that equaled forgiveness of our sins. But the story doesn't end there. It easily could, and many of the disciples thought at that time it did. They ran and they hid. They locked themselves up in an upper room where they had just had probably their last supper together. And they had no understanding of what was going to happen in that moment. And they were desperate, they were in need, they were lost without their Messiah, without their leader, without their one that they loved, their brother. They thought everything that they had been preparing for was done, was gone. Their life had lost purpose. So they ran, and they thought they were going to be the next ones up on that cross. They thought that their lives were in danger. So they ran because they knew they were associates of Jesus. They locked themselves in the room. They probably had massive discussions of what's next. What do we do? How do we make it through this? I find it also interesting at every scene during this time, the ladies were the ones that were left behind taking care of our Savior, wanting to meet our Savior. Both Marys were there to attend to his body when he came off the cross. The disciples ran. They were scared. The Marys in this next scene is the ones that got up early morning before the sun rose and walked on their way to the tomb to attend to the tomb. They had no desire, they had no thought in that morning that they would be surprised of the empty tomb. Even though Jesus said multiple times, he will restore this kingdom in 3 days. He will rise again in 3 days. When you hear people talk, when you hear somebody boast about something that you're like, no way. This was one of those things that they thought, yes, Jesus is big and he does amazing things, but they did not believe with their heart yet until their eyes saw it. And the Marys were approached by an angel who was already sitting up on the tomb that was split in half. The rock rolled away, right? And then it was empty and the guards were in pure fear and shock and they couldn't move. And both the Marys were full of joy and at the same time afraid and terrified. I feel like it would be like a roller coaster ride that you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it, but it's going to be fun. Moment like that. Right? And they were told by the angel, head back because the Jesus that you seek, your friend that you seek, is no longer here. He has risen and he is alive. Everything that they had been hearing, you understand, Mary, both the Marys were with Jesus and the disciples during the whole trek of his time. They got to be part of his ministry and see where he was leading them, and they bought in just like the disciples bought in. And to hear that there is hope now, to hear that through the chaos and the darkness of hopelessness, they found purpose because their Savior is alive. And today he sits at the right hand of our Lord Savior, alive for us, as an intercessory to us, to be the one that says, they are through my blood, through my sacrifice, through my salvation, through my resurrection, they can be here with us. And all it takes is one little thing. To believe. And he comes to the disciples, and Mary's told the disciples to go to Galilee to meet Jesus there because that was his instruction. So they got out of their room. They left where they were fearing, and they went to Galilee, and they found, Jesus found them. And it changed the whole trajectory of the church that we see now. We sit here this morning, early this morning, because the disciples had a moment of seeing their Savior alive. And he gave them a task. He didn't just say, hey, I'm alive, we are good, we're all right. Remember all those things I did? Okay, go do. In fact, he gave them a charge. He gave them a commission. He gave them a purpose to live. You see, the cross gave us forgiveness, but the resurrection gave us a new life of understanding purpose. It gave us a reason to get up in the morning this early. It gave us an understanding and a heartbeat of what we are to do. I don't know if you've ever met somebody that didn't have a purpose in their life. I really believe depression starts there in some ways, when you don't know who you are and why you're here, and Jesus the whole time is telling you, I am you, who you need to be, and I am who you want to be, and I am giving you the reason to be. And that commission is what? To go and disciple and to baptize and to show people how to live the life that he has commanded them to live. That is the purpose of the resurrection. It brings hope into a world. It brings truth into a world that doesn't have truth or tries to manipulate the truth. It brings hope to the hopeless. You see, this is why we believe. And even in during this time, there were many disciples that still dealt with doubt. There's one famous one, Thomas. And you feel bad for Thomas because this is what Thomas is known for now, doubting. In fact, it goes before his name. This is the only thing, like, poor Thomas. He doubted one time. I bet you have doubted many a times, but hopefully doubt doesn't go, hey, he's doubting Ben. But poor Thomas, he gets to live with this. And, you know, Jesus didn't go, what else do I need to prove to you? He wasn't put off by it. What did he do? He took his hand and goes, hey, feel this. This is my wound. You saw this happen to me. I was pierced for you. And in that moment, Thomas believed. This is our Savior. Even though we sometimes doubt him and we need him to prove himself to us, even though we don't deserve it, even though he doesn't have to, he does because he's graceful and he's loving and he's caring and he wants you to know his love is real. In the same way, guess what? We are called to do the same with others who doubt. We are called to do the same with those who don't know and don't believe. We are called to bring the gospel to the people that need it. We are to live the resurrected life with Jesus. See, we once were dead in our transgressions. We are forgiven on the third day, but it doesn't end there. We were raised out of that, and we are a new being, a new life. And that new life brings new breath, brings new understanding of how to live and how to live for God. Right? And this world needs that, and we're called to that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the scripture that you have written on our hearts. This morning, I pray that we live a life that is resurrected for you, through you. This morning, if we're dealing with some kind of doubt, I pray that we cry out to you, please show me that you're real and that you answer. This morning, I pray that your scripture that we read just breathes new life into us, that we know that you are the resurrected life, that you bring new life to us, and that we know that and we are not bound by our sins and our consequences because you have freed them from us. Lord, you sit at the right hand of God for us. Lord, I pray this morning that Easter means more than just finding eggs and being with family, but it is about you. And we celebrate that you are risen, that you are not bound by some tomb, that you were no prophet, that you were our Messiah, that you are the way to our Father. Help us believe in you. Help us know you. Help us become the people that you have called us to be. We do all things to glorify your name. May today be one of celebration. May we focus on your life, your love, your grace, and your mercy. May we focus on that you are risen and that you defeated death. May those around us feel the joy. May we have an encounter with you today that's like those of Mary's. May we walk along the path. Lord, as we come to an end in this service, I pray for our meal that's being prepared for. I pray that you bless the hands that make it and bless those who it feeds, dear Lord. May we sit around the table and just be full of joy of what you're doing in our lives, and may we express with others of what you're doing. May we share the true meaning of Easter with each other. May we come to that table with you, knowing that you have broken your body and shed your blood for us, and that body died. And today we know that it is risen. May it give us a sense of hope. May it give us a sense that you're bigger than death. And through you, all things are possible. We give you all the praise this morning. Amen.